Bucket of world. And today's daf in the second Zivachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Iraq Kadesh, is daf Kuf Yud Beit. We're still holding at the Halak Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beit. Chatat shekibel dama bekos echad. So we've been talking about the various ways in which you could be chayev for zrikas dam b'chutz. And we spoke about the way that there may be a difference, you think, between the domim of chatot apnimiyot versus chatot achitzoniyot. And we said that basically any type of zrika, even any single zrika, would be chayiv. And we also had our shita that we explained yesterday, according to, it was actually machlokas, I should say, whether you would be chayiv on shirayim or not, and that was the shaila whether we'd be talking about shirayim apnimiyim, which would be ma'akev, or maybe even for zrika shirayim achitzoniyim, which even if they were not ma'akev, might perhaps even be chayiv because of the fact that the Torah is ma'akev on zrika shirayim for the pnimiyim. In any event, to continue on, let's talk about what happens if the normal chatas achitzoniyim, you're mekabel the dam, and partially it was zorak bifnim, and partially it was zorak b'chutz. So let's talk about the various possibilities. Chatash kibel dama b'kos echad. So now a single mizrak has the entire chatas dam. We're going to be talking in a moment about what would be if you split it into two. You took some of that dam and you put it b'chutz. Now, the moment that you put that dam b'chutz, obviously it was roy to be miskabel b'fnim. Therefore, it's roy l'pesach ha'el me'ed, and in that event, it would be m'chayev you b'chutz. There's nothing much that is a chiddush over here. It's basically an introduction to the opposite cases that are to come. What if you first put it b'chutz and then b'fnim? So then, obviously, it's chayev b'chayev. But what about if you first put the dam bifnim, and then you went ahead and you put it b'chutz? Well, you'd be still b'chayev for the dam that you put outside, because kuloi ro'oi bifnim. Even if you first put it in the inside, but you were supposed to continue to being zorek bifnim, and even if this dam is now shirayim, remember that we learned, according to Rabbi Nechemia, you would be chayev on the shirayim, in which case we'd be going aliba Rabbi Nechemia. Kibel dama b'shtei kosot. How about if you had two separate kosot of the dam of the chatas? You put both of those kosot bifnim, obviously, your butter. But if you put both of them b'chutz, you would be chayev, and even if you put both of them in Ha'alem Achat, you would only be chayev to one chatas. But the truth is that you could just use any one of these, because any one of them would be okay. Now, the question is, what if you became, in the middle, knowledgeable of the fact that you had done it, and you made a mistake again, and then you poured from the second coast? Over there, you would be chayev too, because each one of them could be mechayev you, as per the earlier part of the Mishnah. So that's why it says that you're chayev, meaning chayev be'alam echad, only one. Suppose you had these two kosot, and first you put the dam of one of the kosot bifnim, and then you put the dam of one of these kosot b'chutz. Then you're potter. Now this is a problem, because lechora, what you should have said over here is not that you would be potter, but rather that you made the dam shirayim. Excuse me. But rather that you made the dam shirayim by pouring it out from the first kos, and since we said a minute ago that we were going aliba Rabbi Nechemia, then shirayim should be enough to be machayev you, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't make any sense, unless, as we're going to find out, that since you have two kosot, one kos does not turn the other kos into shirayim. Rather, it turns them into dochui. Because remember that having two separate kosot is the equivalent of having something la'achrayut. The moment that you determine that you're taking one and not the other, you're docha the other one, and it no longer is ro'i for that carbon, in which case, same thing is true over here. The kos, this is a machlokas, which is going to become a gavi idea, and that is kos ose chaverto, either shirayim or dichoy. Obviously, this mishnah is kos ose chaverto dichoy, as we're soon going to find out when we look into the details of the mishnah. So therefore, if you first gave one bifnim, you would be completely potter. If you did it in the other direction, and you first were zurek one bachutz, so obviously you're chayiv for being zurek bachutz, but the amazing thing is that then if you went ahead and took the other one, and you brought it bifnim, it would be perfectly kosher. So you would be chayiv kores for the first kos, but there's no reason for the first kos that you were zurek, which was bachutz, to have any impact on the kosher dam that was bifnim. And therefore, when you go ahead and you're zurek the other kos, which of course you never took outside, and you were zurek at bifnim, in that case, it would actually be mechaper as the lechatchila kos. You know what this is like? The ma'adavar dome. The question's going to ask why we need any metaphors over here, but you know what it's like? Let's say you were mafresh your carbon chatas. Your carbon chatas got lost and wandered away. You were in a rush to bring the carbon, and so you were mafresh another carbon chatas. So what happens over there? You go ahead, you were going to bring the second one, but then you found the first one. So now you've got a choice here. You've got two chataot that are sitting, and you're going to be choosing which one. So if you went ahead and you shechted both of them bifnim, so obviously you didn't do any iser that was b'chayev yukores, but the point is that lechatchila, if you brought the first one bifnim, the second one becomes one of the chamesh chataot amitot, because it was a chatas that was actually ovad, and at that point the balim was mischaper with another one, and that's one of the chataot hametot. So therefore, even if you had shechted that other one afterwards outside, you would not have been chayev, because it is basically a chataot hametot. It's in a roi liskabel bifnim. Now, you're not chayev for shechting the other one bifnim either, even though it's a chatas hamesas, but there's no chiev for shechting a chatas hamesa. It's an iser, and it's certainly, you're going to be over on Chulin Ba'azora, because it's not considered to be Kadesh, that's right for the Beis HaMikdash, but the Mishnah says you're Potter, because there's certainly no Chiyav of Karas anywhere for Chulin that was Nishchad Ba'azora. Now, how about if first you shechted one of those Chata'ot Bachutz and one of them Bifnim? Well, the one that you shechted Bachutz, actually at that point, if you did it in that order, you first shechted one bachutz, well, then the one bachutz could have been mischabel bifnim, right? Okay, so then you're chayev on that one. Now, since you weren't mischaper with that one, the other one did not become a chatos hamesos. So the other one that you shechted bifnim was mechaper. Exactly like the case over here, where the dam that you took bachutz didn't affect the other one. On the contrary, the other one now remains the primary dam, and that dam is now going to be mechaper when you bring it bifnim, just like your carbon chatas is mischaper here when you brought the other one bachutz, and this one you bring bifnim. So that's fine. How about if you do it the other way around? Well, that was our first case. Then you would be potter, and you had already been mechaper. Now, how about Kishim Shedama Poter Bisara? In the first case, this is basically, we've got Shtei Chataot. We were Mechaper from the first Chatas. There's this another halacha here that we're throwing in. It doesn't really belong here. And it's a din in Me'ilah. And the truth is, this same Mishnah appears in Me'ilah, because even though Me'ilah is not interested in the dinim of Shechita Bachutz and so on, but because of this portion that reflects on the dinim of Me'ilah in these cases, the Mishnah in Me'ilah repeats the entire thing as well. So we've got this Mishnah now at the end teaching us the dinim of Me'ilah. Kishem shedama poteret bisara. So the same way that the first chatas, the moment that you brought its dam, the basar of that chatas is now no longer shayach to me'ila, because the minute that you do a zrika, the Basar becomes Roy for Achila, and because of that, it's no longer called Kodshe Hashem, because it's not Miyuchad LaHashem, and remember, Me'ila is only Achiyam on Kodshim that are Miyuchadim LaHashem. But, interestingly enough, it's also Poteret Basar Chaverta, because like this, if there wouldn't have been any type of Zrika, so then it would have been Chayav HaMe'ila, no matter what the situation is. Once you go ahead and you bring the dam, so then it becomes mutter. But how about if you had two chataot, each one was potentially the proper chatas, because you had set it aside for basically achrayut. If I can't bring this one, I'll bring the other one. So the moment I bring the dam of the first one. So consider this interesting situation. We said in the Mishnah that it was obvious to us, and we're going to show it in the Gemara, but the meaning of the Mishnah must have been that when you bring the first dam, the dam in the second course became dochwe. So over here, if you've got two chataot, the same thing happens, and actually turns it here worse. It makes it a chataot hametot. But at the same time, it also takes off the me'ila, because once I went ahead and I brought the dam of one of them on the mizbeach, it becomes the one that was the chatas that was kosher. The other one becomes a chatas shekipru ba'aleha, and that is lemisa eimed, in which case it cannot be shayach to the dinim of me'ila. So then essentially what we're saying is that a chatas that was mechaper for itself also will pater the other chatas from me'ila by turning it into something that is completely not shayach to Hagdish, namely a chata shechipu ba'aleha ba'acher. So therefore, kishem shidama poter b'sara, kachu poter, meaning from me'ila. This has nothing to do with shechitas chutz. Kachi poteret et b'sar chaverta. So now let's just talk out in the Gemara the information that we had worked out for ourselves as we were going through the Mishnah. So I understand the case where first you went ahead and you were Zorek Bechutz, and then you were turned around and you were Chozev Anasa Bifnim. So obviously, all of that dam was Roy to be brought Bifnim, and you brought some of it Bechutz. That's already going to be Mechayiv. That's fine. I don't understand the case where first you brought it Bifnim, and then you bring it Bechutz, and then the Mishnah says that you'd still be Chayiv. Well, why is that? Isn't the dam that's left in the coast, isn't that called Shirayim, if you already did a Zrika that was kosher? Shirayim Ninu, and therefore it's not Roy Lavo Bifnim, the Pesach HaOmoed, and it ought to be Potter. Yeah, sure, ought to be Potter, says the Gemara, if you're going according to the Rabbana. However, this Mishnah is going Alibi to Rabbi Nechemya, that we just learned about yesterday, and Rabbi Nechemya holds Shiore Hadam, Sheikri Vachutz, Yurchayev, as we had in the whole discussion, first in the Mishnah, and then with the conversation between Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Akiva, and our subsequent understanding that how Rabbi Nechemya arrives at the Chiyav of Shirayim, learning it from the Shirayim of the Katot Apnimiot, which are Ma'akev, actually, their Shirayim. By the way, all of the variations on the way in which we can understand the sugya of what does Rabbi Nechemya hold in terms of the damim b'chutz versus the damim b'fnim, and that whole strange breakdown in the Gersot that we had yesterday between how to understand that last piece of the Gemara with Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Akiva, there's really all of those variations that we've been talking about are brought by the Tosfos early in the Masechet, where we had the first time that we met those inyonim of Rabbi, about the difference between Shirayim Akvin and Benogea, the Chatot Apnimiot, and Chatot Kitzoniot. That's when we were discussing which one of the Zrikas is Ma'akev. The different Chitas of the Tosfos over there on, I believe it's Lamed Gimel, goes through, the whole possibility, all of the various possibilities. Okay, so now you're telling me that Shirayim are Chayiv. This, of course, led to the contradiction that we ourselves mentioned when we learned the Mishnah together. It didn't make sense to us then. If it's going according to Rabbi Nechemya, that Shirayim are Mechayiv you, Bechutz, then why in the next case, why does it say that if you were Mekabel Adam at two separate Kosot and you put both of them Bifnim, well, obviously you're Potter. If you brought both of them, you're Chayiv, Bechutz, obviously you're Chayiv. Echad Bifnim, the Echad Bechutz in that order, here it says you're Potter. But if you first put one of them bifnim, then you turn the other one into shirayim, and you just said that al liba Rabbi Nechemya, shirayim is chayiv, not poter. How come you changed your mind in the middle? Didn't we just say that Amar Rabbi Nechemya, shiori adam shikriva b'chutz should be chayiv? Answers the Gemara, well, maybe you'll have to say that this seifa is going aliba, the Tanakama of Rabbi Lazar by Rabbi Shimon. So according to that, we spoke about that again also earlier when we were talking about the sugya and Lamed Gimel Lamed Daled. So we brought that whole machlokas, and over there the case was you're mekabel adam ba'arba kosot, and we went through what the din would be, and you brought all of it except for one or from one, and the rest of them became shirayim. Anyway, so we came out over there that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you would be chayev because of shirayim on the others. They're still of it in a shirayim, but the Tanakama held that actually it becomes dochli, because since you were kabbal in a separate kosot, and when you use the damim one kos, the other damim don't become shirayim. Shirayim is only when the blood of that kos was poured out, and then whatever is left was left from that kos. Okay, so this part of the Mishnah could be even a libet Rabbi Nechemya, but I mean, I don't know if Rabbi Nechemya holds about this, but if you also hold it a Tanakam for Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, then since it's two separate kosot, it's worse than shirayim. It's actually dachui, and therefore it's not roi at all, for being brought the petach ohel moed. And when it's dachui, what do we do with it? We just pour it down the drain. Remember, put it down the ama, like we do with all of the kachim that are completely useless. We don't pour it on the yisod of the mizbeach, which we would do if it were shirayim. So it goes, it's nishpachi bla'ama. That's the way that we deal with the kachim psulim. Umatana de polagalei de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who is the man d'omar, indeed, that argues with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We finally find out. It's got to be Rabbi Nechemya. Because we just saw that the first part of the Mishnah was going alibet Rabbi Nechemya, that you're chayiv on shirayim that you brought b'chutz. So if you're chayiv on shirayim that you brought b'chutz, then the only way for us to understand why it is that if it was in two kosot that the other kos you wouldn't be chayiv on would be to say, wow, it must be that Rabbi Nechemya holds that shirayim is one thing, but dochu is another thing. If it's two kosot, then kos oseh chavero dihui. Aha! So if that's the case, we finally have figured out who is this infamous Tanakama that argues in Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Now we know it is indeed Rabbi Nechemya. Anyway, then the Mishnah gave this weird mashal, which we don't understand. Why do we need the mashal? Lama hadavar dome, we said. Lama frish chatatova avda, vifrish acheret tachteha, v'achar kach nimtzeta rishona. What do we need this for? I mean, the halacha stands on its own without a comparison to the dinim of chataot hametot, no? Because hamani rebi, note that we're talking about, and that's what it's coming to bring out, that basically we had the machlokas in Temura about the chamesh chataot hametot. So remember, we had chata shekiper ba'alea ba'ach. That was one of the chamesh chataot hametot. And now the question is, if you had set aside two chataot, l'chatchila, for achrayut, in the event that if something happens to one, that then you could use the other one, that is not considered to be a chata shekipru ba'alea ba'acher. That is considered to be the equivalent of having said, look, if I'm going to use one of them for the chatas, so then the other one will have a din of moser chatas. And we've seen this several times throughout the Masechet, that there is a halacha of moser chatas the same way there's a halacha of moser osham. How is that? Shayach isn't moser chatas by definition. It's only motar because the bialim was mechaper with another chatas. How could this be motar? It should be chatas amesas. So we're mechalik between a chatas that was set aside lichatchila for achrayut, which does not become a chatot hametot, and a chatas that was lost, and then you set aside the other one, and then you find it. Now that, if you're mischaper with the other one, that's definitely a chatash kippur ba'ala ba'achar. So that's gufa, what the chiddush is over here. But we're going aliba to Rebbe, who holds that if it was avudah b'sha'at hafrasha, so if at the time that you were mafrish the other chatas, which you think might be looked at only as achrayut, no. If the other chatas was lost at that point, and you were mafrish the other one, so then if you're mischaper with that first one, the other one is not viewed as achrayus. It's viewed as a chatas that was nischapra ba'acher. So therefore, in the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about the cases that Rebbe and the Chachamim were talking about, where we found a lost chatas before the Shrita. Now we have two of them that are ready to go. So what the Mishnah is saying is, the only reason that I'm saying over here, that your potter on the second chatas, note my language, it was avda. First it was avda. But this is to tell me that if you were mafrish, shtei chataot, up front, la'achrayut, there's no shaila that one of them, basically innate in your setting aside achrayut, is in the event that I don't need it for achrayut, so then I'm going to be bringing this one as an eila. Well, we think that that means, I mean, normally when we have achrayut, so then what's the din? That becomes essentially the kayetza mizbeach, right? Because any motar, let's say motar of an alshem or anything else, becomes kayetza mizbeach. And here we're claiming that it actually is a kosher ola, in which case it doesn't become pasul, it simply becomes an ola. And if you shecht an ola b'chutz, you're chayev. So that's why the Mishnah is saying, if you shecht an ola b'chutz, you would be chayev, like Rav Huna Merav. The Omer of Huna Merav, if you had an alshem, and that asham, remember, what are you supposed to do with it if you have an asham that was one of the equivalent of one of the chatot hametot? So an asham that's in that case, remember the din is, we put it out to pasture and we wait till it gets a mum, and then we buy an eila with the money. In this case, it's saying that you would actually be chayev for the shechita b'chutz. So how does that work? I thought you have to wait till it gets a mum. Ah, because as Rav Huna Merav pointed out, the truth is that once you set aside this asham to get a mum and to be used, its money to be used for an eila, if you went ahead and shechted it stam without waiting, and you then were in the Beis HaMikdash, you shechted it as an eila, it would be kosher as an eila. Because the only din that was supposed to be waiting till it gets hamum is because of a gezerah that we talked about over there. But the truth is, it's kosher. In this case also, since it's kosher b'diavad as an eila, even though be'etzem, it's a chatas, so because of that, you'd be chayav on shechitas chutz, because it's really an eila. What are you talking about, man? What do you mean it's really an eila? I got news for you. A chatas is female, and an eila is male. I mean, it can only be male. So how in the world did a chatas become a eila? What are you talking about over there? We're talking about an asham. An asham is a zohar, and therefore, yes, if I shechted it as an eila, it would be kosher for an eila. How can I shecht a chatas for an eila? So me, dummy. Hatam, we're talking about the asham, an asham is a zachar, and an eila is a zachar. So mamela, if you shechted it for an eila, it's the proper animal for the eila. But how could you possibly do that over here? In this case, a chatas is an akeva. Amrebi chia mi ustinya, not every chatas is an akeva. We've got a better than an average chatas in this case, which is a chatas sa'ir nasi. And the sa'ir nasi is indeed the only chatas yachid that would be a zachar. Hadra alach ha-shochet ve'amale. Let's try that again. Hadra alach ha-shochet ve'amale.
A bleed nega. Funkin the heleke perek.
And there we go. Now we've got all kinds of fascinating inyanim of halas chutz, of things that are, I don't know, they're kodesh, but you're not chayiv on them for halas chutz. So let's talk about the various cases. Let's take what about a poraduma? So we start with a poraduma that is supposed to be, obviously it's not brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's supposed to be shechted and burned in a little depression that you make for it on Har HaZeitim. But you went ahead, and instead of burning it in that, what's called a ghat, because it's similar to a ghat, so it was burnt elsewhere. Well, is that the same thing as halas chutz? No. How about a sar mishtaleach? And you bring the sar mishtaleach, instead of throwing it off the cliff la azazel, you go ahead and you build a mizbeach, and you bring the sar mishtaleach on the mizbeach. Are you chayev? No. You're potter. Why? Because remember that in this entire parsha of Shkutei Chutz that we have in Achrimot, what it says is beferish the words ve'el petach ohel moed lo hevi. Oh, that means that I'm only giving this chi of chorus and this azara of kol she'eno roi lavo pesach ohel moed. By definition, you're not going to be chayev, because the context of the iser is you should have brought it to the Pesach Ohel Moed and you didn't. And therefore, in this case, you shouldn't have brought it to the Pesach Ohel Moed. So how can I think that the chayev of Azhara and Kares for Shkutei Chutz would apply to it? And there's lots of things that are like this, in which they were never roy lepesach ohel moed, and therefore they're not im olu lo yerdu. These are cases im olu yerdu, and therefore since im olu yerdu, they're totally not roy for the pesach ohel moed. So in the case of you have a roveah, you have a nirva, you have a muktzah that was set aside for bringing as an avodah zarah, you have a neva that actually was nevad for avodah zarah, which even though that doesn't create isurim for a hedyot, remember, you cannot create an isur of avodah zarah on a baal chayim, but it does passel it for the mizbeach, which we learn out from one of the min, and only from, and the other cases would be etnan for a whore or kilayim, where the min is not one particular min, but you actually made it two species, so you now have a hybrid, you want to bring it as a carbon, or you have a carbon that was a trefa, or it was not tachas imoi because there was no kiivaleid shiva yamim tachas imo. It was actually born by Caesarean, in which case it was not included in the Torah's list of animals roi for the mizbeach. Therefore, would even be mala yered. So a yotzei dofen, any of those that were brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash should be potter, shenemar lifnei mishkan Hashem. Now, this is a little weird. I mean, because a minute ago, we brought the first part of the pasuk. We said, "Vel ohel moed, sorry, al pesach ohel moed lo hevio la'akrivo korban la'Hashem." And now we're bringing the continuation of the pasuk, "Lifnei mishkan Hashem." What was wrong with the first part of the pasuk? Why did the Mishnah change from the first half of the pasuk to the second half of the pasuk? Because of this din. Gemara's going to talk about this, but that tells us the same thing. Koshin roi lavo lifnei mishkan Hashem. In Chayavin Olav, so if it cannot be brought into the Mishkan, that is not considered to be a Chiyav for Shkutei Chutz. And Ba'alei Mumim, whether we're talking about Ba'alei Mumim Kvuim, that you're never going to be able to get rid of that Mum, or Bein Ba'alei Mumim, that are Ovrim, that are going to actually end up being cured from the Mum, and you brought them up a Chutz, according to the Tanakama, your Potter, because neither of them are shayach to be brought lifnei Pesach Ohel Moed. As Rabbi Shimon Aimer, no, only Baalei Mumim Kvuim are considered to be not roy lePesach Ohel Moed, but Baalei Mumim Ovrim, I agree, it's not included in this Isser and in this Chiyav, because it's not roy lePesach Ohel Moed, but it's included in another Lav. What's that? I'll let you know later. But you're going to be over on a lo ta'aseh that we're going to have to look into to figure out what that lo ta'aseh was. Torim, shelo yigi hazmanah. Now remember, there's a difference between b'nei yonah and torim. Because the way that the Torah puts it is b'nei yonah in the context of torim. So obviously b'nei yonah are a reference to the young of the yonah. In other words, it's not the name of the bird, Ben Yonah. So Bnei Yonah are young birds of the species called Yonim, and Torim are the mature birds of the species called Torim. Now, if you brought, so each one of them is defined as the Gemara Ben Mishnah Chulin actually shows the din of dependent in Sihuv. So there's a sign in the coloration of the feathers of the bird. There's a different coloration of post-puberty and pre-puberty on these birds. And that is a golden yellow coloration that is a sign of puberty. And therefore, we can know which ones are considered to be old enough to be taurine and which ones are considered to be young enough and have not passed puberty to be b'nei yonah. So therefore, you have taurim, shelo higi hazmanam. You have prepubescent taurim, they're not kosher. Or you have b'nei yonah, which are postpubescent, she'ovar hazmanam. Both of them are not roi lepesach ol moed. And therefore, if you were makriv them b'chutz, you're putter. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, following his shita that we just learned about Bali Mumin Ovrim, he says it's true that the yonah, the b'nei yonah, if it's too old, I haven't figured out how to make it younger. But if they are actually prepubescent taurim, I have figured out a way to make it older. It's called weight. And that's the same thing that I said about the din of Bali Mumin Ovrim. I said that it would be kosher because you just need to wait until it becomes kosher. So therefore, not being old enough is the equivalent of a mum over, and you would be chayav. Now let's take a case of oto ve'ed bino. So now let's say that you shechted the mother of an animal. So now you're not allowed to shecht the child of that animal on that same day. Even though it says oto, it doesn't mean the father, it means the mother. So now, if you shechted one, you can't shecht the other. But you could shecht it tomorrow, right? But meanwhile, it's not kosher because it's called mechuser zman. So mechuser zman, and there's two different types of a mechuser zman. There is a mechuser zman, which Agavi will write down in his munachim. There's a mechuser zman, which would be a mechuser zman in the animal. So the animal, maybe it hasn't lived shivas yomim tachas ima. That's called mechuser zman. Or it's mechuser zman because within the past 24 hours, you shechted the mother of this animal. Those are examples of what's known as mechuser zman begufo. But there's also mechuser zman beba'alov. And that would be where there's nothing wrong with the animal, except that the owner is not yet able to bring this korban. Let's say he's a zav or a mitzora in the middle of counting, and now he's not yet up to the eighth day where he's able to bring the korban. That's called a mechuser zman in the baalim and not in the korban. So what would be the din in those cases? So oto vet bano, which is a type of mechuser zman, or mechuser zman, which we'll see would include mechuser zman in the baalim as well, you would be putter. And again, Rabbi Shimon says, now, wait a minute, mechuser zman sounds to me like you could wait. And sure enough, this is Rabbi Shimon Lishitasai, I have this magical lotasa that nobody else knows about. And although it's true you would not be over on the Issacharis and the Azara of the entire parsha that we had, and we analyzed all of the dinim over there, of course, Azaras, but for Shrita Halah, they don't apply, but something else applies. And there's another lotasa. The truth is that Rabbi Shimon's overall shita is that koshu ra'ui lavo le'achar zman, harezi b'lo ta'aseh v'ein bo karet. If it's possible to just wait and have this be roi l'pesach ha'omoid, albeit it's not the normal iser, it's not the chiyuv of kares, and it's not the same iser lav, because currently, indeed, it's not roi l'pesach ha'omoid. There is, however, another lav. The Gemara is going to say, well, tell us already. What's the lav? Or we'll figure it out. Harezi b'lo ta'aseh. The ein bo karet, was the Chachomim say, there's no such thing. Either there is the chi of karet, and then you're over on that lav, or there's not. There's no separate lav she'ein bo karet. So kol she'ein bo karet, ein bo lo ta'aseh. So let's take a look at what we meant when we talked about the difference between an oto ved beno case, which is actually one of the cases of mechuser zman. And then we mentioned separately mechuser zman. Now, what's that mechuser zman referring to? So that mechuser zman broadens the envelope over here to include bein begufo or bein bebalav. Now, what do we mean by a mechuser zman Baalaf. Well, let's see, you've got a Zav, a Zava, a Yoledet, a Mitzora. All of these people have the period of Svira. And then after counting their Nikiyim, or after counting the time in the Mitzora from his bringing the Karbanos of the bird that he sends, which is not a Karban, but doing the Avodah of the birds, then he's able to bring his Karbanos after his Svira on the eighth day. So any of these people who may have a Korban Chatas or a Korban Osham, and they bring it b'chutz, since they're not yet roy to bring that Korban, so then that Korban is b'chutz v'zman. If I had brought it b'fnim, it wouldn't have been a kosher Korban, and therefore it's not roy l'pesach o amoed. It's exactly a point. And therefore it's adding even the type of b'chutz v'zman. But if they were chayav an oila, or a shlomim, the Gemara is going to say, what? Who is chayav an oila and a shlomim exactly? We'll go through that in the Gemara. So if they were chayav an oila or a shlomim b'chutz, and they bring that b'chutz, then they would be chayav, because those could actually be brought stam as an adava. Since you can bring an oila and a shlomim as an adava, then it's certainly royal Pesach HaMoed, and even if you're making the wrong application of it, that shouldn't make a difference, because technically speaking, this carbon is shayach LePesach HaMoed. There are certain things that there's never going to be a possibility of making you chayah for them by halah or any other avodah outside of the Omoid. So let's say if you're talking about Basar of a Korban Chatas, or Basar of an Asham, or Basar of Kachi Kadashim, remember, wherever we mention Kachi Kadashim in the context of Chatas v'Asham, there's nothing else that's Kachi Kadashim in terms of Damim other than what? Kivsei Atzeret again. So the way that we refer to the Kivsei Atzeret, which are Shalmei Tzibur, is we call them Kachi Kadashim. And if you bring any of the basar, obviously a basar never goes on the Mizbeach unless it's an Ayla. So whether it's any of this basar of the different types of Kachin Kachim, or it's basar of Kachin Kalim, or other things that don't belong on the Mizbeach at all, and im olu yerdu, that would include the motar of the Omer, or the motar of the Shteal Lechem, or the Lechem Aponim itself, or any shiraim of Menachos that are never put on the Mizbeach. And of course, when the Minchas Kohen is put on the Mizbeach, it's not shiraim, because we don't do any Knitza on it, because it's Kalil Tiyeh, and as Kalil Tiyeh, it's certainly not Rotwe here with Amatir and so on. And a Yotzeik, and a Potate. So Yotzeik, remember, is if you do the avoid of putting the oil on a mincha pechutz, you know, or if you do the petita, petoto tapitim, says the Torah, when you're talking about a mincha is ma'afeh, so you've got pieces, you've got to break them up into little pieces in order to be able to do kmitza on them, or you're a moleach a korban, which is a chiev of lo tashbit, melach brit, or you do the tenufa, which is part of the avoda of a mincha, or of whatever it is that you need to do tenufa on. Or if you do hagasha of a mincha, hagasha is the special avoda where you just take the mincha and you bring it up close to the mizbeach. So this is back specifically to mincha. Tenufa could refer to any tenufa. Or you were misader the shulchan, let's say. Okay, so you put the lechem aponim on the shulchan together with the levona. Or you did Atavas HaMenorah, Surametivis HaNeros, or you did the Kmitza. And the Kmitza, of course, is the equivalent of the Shechita, but not quite. Because when you do the Kmitza, remember, it's not the end of what you've got to do, because the Kmitza is the very thing that you put on the Mizbeach. It's true that Shechita would be Mechayev Yibachutz. But Kmitza, over here, the Kmitza itself is not the end of the Aveda. And the Torah talks about Avodat Tama, Avodat Matana. And a Mekabel Damim, even if you were Mekabel Adam, if you're Mekabel Adam, you still have to do the Zrika of the Dam. So even though you say, yes, it's one of the Arba Avedas, but that doesn't mean that it's included in the Asiya of Zevach, Oila Zevach Bachutz. So if you did any of these things, Bachutz, you would be Potter. For different reasons, of course. Once we mention that you're putter on the Aveda B'chutz, we'd like you to recognize that also you wouldn't be chayev for any other issues. Like, for instance, if you were a czar and you did any of those things, you would not be chayev for having done those things because, again, these were not considered to be avodah tama. It's not the end of the avodah. It was only one stage in an avodah. And a czar is not chayev unless it's the last stage of that particular set of avodahs. So therefore, you wouldn't be chayev on any of those things that we just listed. For zarut, you wouldn't be chayev if you were tamei, betumas haguf, which is a chayev misa b'dei shamayim, but only if it's an avodah tama. So you would not be chayev for that either. Or if a kohen is not wearing his big day kahuna, which turns him essentially into a czar, remember, bizman should be big day hem aleihem, kahuna tam aleihem, ain big day hem aleihem, ain kahuna tam aleihem. But you wouldn't be chayev because even a czar who does this is not chayev misa because it's not avodah tama. And if you did it without washing your yadayim v'raglayim in the kiyar, you would also not be chayiv, because there too, it's only an aveda, specifically. Now let's remember, once, the truth is, this is a separate Mishnah, but this is one of those program where we give you the whole deal right up front. So let's turn to another overall halacha in the Mishnah. What exactly is the status of chutz versus a bama? When does something, I mean, it's the same thing. I'm bringing a korban b'chutz, and sometimes that's a mitzvah to do, and sometimes that is a nisr karis to do. So what are those times? What define those times? Well, let's go through the various times in which it was mutter to bring a korban b'chutz and the times in which it's usher to bring a korban b'chutz. So, as usual, we get to the first things that you got to know at the end. So, ad shelohu kam ha-mishkan. So, we were there in the midbar, and it took a long time to get that mishkan built. And until the Mishkan was built, there were still avodas, because it says beferish on Har Sinai, there were these na'arim who had been sent up, and they brought zvachim and so on. So what would be the din over there? Well, up until that time, bamot were okay, because there was nothing but bamot, obviously. But since it says in that parsha of Har Sinai that they sent up to the Na'arim, that was because the Aveda was still the Bechereis, and when we said on Na'arim, who are the Na'arim? Well, those are, as we said in the, who becomes the Bechor? Yivarechet ha-Na'arim. Those are the Bechor. That was the Mesira of the Bechera to Yosef. So basically, the Lashon of Ne'arim that were sent up to Har Sinai is a reference to those who would be doing the Aveda, who were specifically the Bechorot. Once the Mishkan, however, was put up, then you were usher El Petach Ol Moed. If you didn't bring it El Petach Ol Moed, that's exactly what the Pasuk was referring to over here in Achremot. Dam shafach, that's like murder, not to bring it up to the Ohel Moed. Okay, so we know at that point, obviously, the bamos are aser. And as we know through the whole dinim of the miluim, in which we make Aaron the Kohen and then a Shmini b'miluim, Moshe gives over that kahuna forever to Aaron Ubanav. At that point, the avoda is with Kohanim, not with the Bechoros, and this all follows from the story of Har Sinai. So it started with the Bechorot on Har Sinai, but then came the Maisa Egel. It's the Maisa Egel that was Machai of the Binyan of the Mishkan, and then once the Egel messed up the relationship in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to be Shira on us all over as Mamlechus Kohanim, and we would be able to bring up our Karbonas, and we had our Bechoros, everything changed. The Bechoros lost their rights. The Levim were Zeicha because of their fight to destroy the Egel and anyone who worshipped the Egel. And the Shechina, instead of being available on your local rooftop, is only in a special Makom, which was then either Shiloh or Yerushalayim. and so on. So there, everything changed at that point. And then...
It really wasn't that much later.
What? You're supposed to raise your hand, not just interrupt. But what is it? Yeah?
The Isra Bamot only kicked in place when they established it, or before then they could still have Bamot. Or was it back at Hasina?
No. The Mishkan was a replacement for the Egel. If you recall, that was the whole idea of the Mishkan. It was both the Kapora on the Egel, and those were the Korbanos that we brought during the Mimluim, and it was a actual replacement for the Egel, which were the Kruvim that were inside the Beis, the Mishkan. And at that point, the Bechoros, once we had that available, the Bechoros were no longer able to do Aveda, as we have to in Parshas Nosei. It was given over to Levium, we're Mekadesh the Levium, we waved the Levium, Rakabai Levi. And at that point, the new system went into effect. Is that clear? Everything good? You happy?
No. Including Bamot Chutz
at that minute became awesome. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. Once there was the Kedusha of the Mishkan. That's what our Mishnah is coming to explain. So Mishu Kama Mishkan, Nesru HaBamot. And what happened then? Well, a lot of changes. First of all, the Aveda was only done by Kohanim. Second of all, you could only eat Kodshei Kodshim if you were inside of the, at that point, they really were curtains. We use the word curtains as a, because it was originally curtains, we use the word curtains to mean the chomot of the Azara today. But at that time, it was actual curtains, obviously, around the Mishkan, which defined the chotzer of the Mishkan. And kochim kalim, they could be eaten b'chol machane Yisroel, because the machane Yisroel was the equivalent of Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now that lasted until we came into Eretz Yisroel. So once we came into Eretz Yisrael, we went to war, spent 7 years fighting the Goyim, then spent 7 years fighting each other in order to figure out who gets what with all the court cases and everything that was brought to Bimavar, the Nachala. So those are the Sheva Shekafshu, the Sheva Shechilku. And at that point, there was no Mishkan yet. We didn't rebuild the Mishkan. The Mishkan was finished because it was made for travel. And we were no longer traveling. So what did we do? Well, as you know, we camped out in Gilgal. Once we camped out in Gilgal, the Bomos, we did put out a place where the Tzibor could come to bring Korbanos Tzibor. That was called a Bamat Tzibor, as opposed to the Bomas Yochid. And these are important terminologies for anyone who has a magic wand. I think that at this point, this seems to include Ori specifically. And you've got to write down the difference between a Bomas Tzibor, in which it's possible to bring Korbanos that were brought, as we're going to see later on, Korbanos that were brought originally only in a Mishkan that you cannot bring on your personal Boma. So your personal Bama, you can only bring, as it says in the Pasuk, Ish Hayashar Be'enav, which means only Nidar V'Nidav. Karbonos that you feel like bringing, Hayashar Be'enav, those can be brought. So a Karbon Ola, a Karbon Teda, a Karbon Shlomim, those can be brought on a Bamas Yachid, but you can't bring them on a Bamas Tzibor. So we built a Bamas Tzibor in Gilgal, but when there is a Bamas Tzibor, there is a heter for Bamas Yochid. And everyone can have, for the Karbonos that he's allowed to bring on a Bamas Yochid, at that point the Bamas become mutter. So therefore, when they came to Gilgal, it was still true that in Gilgal itself, which was the Bamas Tzibor, you would still eat the Kodshei Kodshim, Lefinim and Akilaim, and Kachim Kalim could be eaten anywhere because there was no Machane, there was no Yerushalayim anymore, there was no travel in the Midbar which defined a Machane Yisrael, and therefore, we're going to learn out from the Pasuk, at that point, Kachim are eaten anywhere. Now, the next step after those 14 years was to arrive in Shiloh, and this is very important for our tour guides, especially for the love of Eretz Yisrael tour guides. And therefore, when the next time they come to Shiloh, they'll be able to give over this entire Mishnah. So, Bo le Shiloh, Now, Shiloh did not, it's very interesting, hybrid. It was a halfway Mishkan. The walls of Shiloh were built out of stone, but the top of Shiloh used the Mishkan skins to be over the top. So it was a permanent Mishkan, sort of a contradiction in terms, in a sense. And that's why it's called Mishkan Shiloh. It's not entirely a bayit in Shiloh, it's a Mishkan in Shiloh. So v'lo hayasham tikra, there was no solid roof. There was a bayit made out of anim, bilvad, without a ketikra, and that was on the bottom. But above, it utilized the yiriot, like the Mishkan, and therefore it was still called a Mishkan Shiloh. And that was still present in Shiloh. And it was called, in the Pasuk, Minucha. What is this referring to? Because since the way that the Torah tells us, the dinim of Isha Yashar Be'inam, is with the words, Kilo batem ad ata el ha-minucha ve'el ha-nachala. Since you haven't yet arrived at your minucha, and you haven't yet arrived at your nachala, what is that minucha? Shiloh. And therefore the Pasuk is saying, you haven't yet come to your minucha, and therefore you can still bring Isha Yasha Be'enav. If you need to bring your carbon oila, which is nidav and nidav, or your carbon shlomim, which is nidav and nidav, yes, that you can bring. And that's what was referred to once you came to Shiloh, now you cannot. Because I only allowed you to do that because lo batem ela menucha vela nachala. Once you got to the menucha, which is Shiloh, it became usur once again. And now kachikachim are eaten inside of the kilaim. Kachim kalim in maaser sheni, however, because of a special pasuk that we're going to see, and which is in the schus of Yosef HaTzadik, who was able to use his eyes without ill effect, and he never took anything that he wasn't supposed to take. Therefore, he was able, in his chelek, which is Shiloh, it's mutter to eat kachim kalim or maaser sheni b'chol haro'eh. Anything that you see, as long as you can see it, and Rabbanea will be happy to take you to the exact area where you can no longer see, and therefore you can no longer eat, and show us all of the kalim that were thrown into the ground in those places, which were now uncovered, and we can reconstruct exactly where it is that you can see Shiloh, which was the place that you could eat either kachim kalim or maaser sheni. The equivalent of Yerushalayim was the ro'eh. Then we had the disaster in Shiloh when the Aron HaBris was captured, and that was the end of Shiloh with the death of Eli. And so, afterwards, the Aron was brought to Nov, and then because of the disaster of Shaul, who destroyed Nov, it was moved to Giv'on. So during those years of Nov and Giv'on, before Yerushalayim, the Dabomis again became mutter because there was no longer any Menucha. And during that time, the Bamot again became mutter. So we've got these three tkufot here. We've got the tkufa pre-Mishkan. We've got the tkufa of Gilgal, and we've got the Tkufot of Nov and Givon, which are looked at as one long period of the Heter HaBamos. And there, Kachi Kachim are again, they're Necholemoni Lefnim and Akilaim in the Mizbeach of the Tzibur, the Bama HaGidola, as it's called, which was in Nov and then in Givon. You could eat Kachi Kachim. There's no such thing as eating Kachi Kachim in a Bama, because the only Kachi Kachim that you bring in a Bama is an Oila, and an Oila is not edible. The only other Kachim that you would eat in a Bama would be the Shlomim, and that's Kachim Kalim. So in the Bama Gedela, you could eat Kachi Kachim if you were a Kohen, because there was a din of Kahuna and a Bama Gedela as well, as opposed to a Bama Ketana, as we'll see. Kachi Kachim would be Necholim Lefnim and Akilaim. Kachi Kalim could be eaten anywhere at all. All of the Ore Yisrael had a din of a Machane Yisrael. Then, finally, in arriving in Yerushalayim, the Bamot became usher permanently, and they were never once again They were never hutar, because that was the nachala. Ki hi aita nachala that we said ki lo batem ad ata ela menuchavala nachala. Once you come to the nachala, it's permanent. That's why it's called a nachala. Kotche kotchim arnecholim lifnimen akilaim. Kotchim kalim by sasheni can only be eaten lifnimen hachoma around Yerushalayim, which now becomes Machane Yisrael. Yes, for the love of Eretz HaKadosh.
When it says b'chol ear, is that dafka or lav dafka?
Lav dafka. Kol HaKadoshim. Now we're going back to the limud that we had earlier in the Gemara about the Isra of Hakravas Chutz. What is the din? If you were makdish the kachin already after the Mishkan was made, so once it was Bishas Isra Bamas, and then you were makrivit Bishas Isra Bamas outside, there you have both the mitzvahs Haseh and the mitzvahs Lo Saseh, and the Chiev of Kores, all of which we talked about earlier. We had the mitzvah Saseh, Ve'heviyum la'ashem mel petach o'amoid. That's your Chiev. The Lotase is the Hishomer lecha penta le'olotecha, which we learned about in Parshas Re'eh. And Komokam shenemar Hishomer pen va'al, that is a Lotase, in which case there's also a Lotase. And then back in Vayikra, in Parshas Achrimot, it said beferish that vilchrat nefesh, in which case there's a Chiev of Kores. So we have an Aseh, a Lotase, and a Chiev of a Kores. That is in any case where it was usher at the time of the Hegdash, and you brought it during the time of the Yisr. But suppose you were Magdish a Karban before the Mishkan was built, or you were Magdish a Karban in Gilgal before Shiloh was built, or you were Magdish a Karban in Nov and Givon before the Beis HaMikdash was built. What would be the din in those cases if then you brought it after the particular either Mishkan or Shiloh or Yerushalayim was built, and then you were makrivit b'shas Isra b'mas b'chutz? We talked about that before, and remember we brought a raya that there is no chiyav of kares if the hagdesh had been something that had been roy to be brought outside in a bama katana, and therefore you would be actually over on an esa and a lotase, but you would not be chayev on an iser koras that we saw before last week. Actually, hikadishan b'shaat isur habamot v'krivan b'shaat heter habamot. How about the inverse? How about if someone made a hegdesh during the time of Shiloh, and it was usher to bring it b'chutz, and then Shiloh was destroyed, and he went ahead, and now during the period of Nov v'Givon, he brought it on a bama of the Yochid, a bama ketana, as it's also called, hikrivan b'shat hetra b'mat, then you're over only on an aseh, and you're not over on a lotase, because basically, we'll see in the Gemara, that there's no iser of a lav, and certainly there's no chorus, because there it has to be that it was usher at the time that you would have actually done it, and therefore if you were a magdish b'shas isra b'mas, how about in the opposite case, Shiloh was destroyed, then it would only be an aseh, and there wouldn't even be a lotase, certainly not chorus. Now, let me tell you what kind of korbanos you're allowed to bring in the Mishkan. So, elu kachim kreivim b'mishkan. So, the things that need to be brought in a bama gedela, even during the time that the bama's yochid is mutar. Well, any korban that was brought originally was meant to be brought in the Mishkan. By which I mean, any Karbanos tzibur at all that have to be brought only in a bamas tzibur, and the things that were specifically, as we'll see, meant to be brought in that Mishkan, they're also included. But all the karbanos are that are tzibur are kreivim b'mishkan, but stam karbanos of a yachid, which are the nidav can be brought in your bama ketana. But also, Korbanot HaYachid that you mentioned specifically, I am making this Korban in order, Hareza Ola Lahakriva B'mishkan. So if you said that, then you would not be able to bring it in your personal Bama, and you would have to bring it in the Mishkan, or the equivalent of the Mishkan at that time. V'im ikrivam b'bama, nonetheless, you would be pater, because as we said, it goes according to the actual time, and you would not be over, certainly you wouldn't be chayav kares, but you're not even over on the lotaser. If you were makriv b'shas heter abamas, of course, you would be over on the isra of violating your neder. You know, you said, I'm making this an oila to bring it in the Mishkan, and you didn't. That's nothing to do with the dinum of kachin. That has to do with the dinum of nedarim. Now, what are the differences? Besides which karbanos are brought where, what are the differences between bringing a karban on a bamas yochid versus bringing a karban on the bamas tzibor in Nov or in Giv'on or in Gilgal? What would be the differences? Well, okay, first of all, smicha. There's no din of smicha on a bama. So smicha means that before you bring your karban, you have to put your weight on the karban, putting your hands on the head of the karban. There's no such halacha. There's no din of tzofein when it comes to a bama, because there is no tzofein, so be no point to that. There's no din of matan saviv. So even though we said you do need to build a mizbeach, but there's no din of shnayim shein arba, even on the kachim kalim that you're bringing. Obviously, you're not bringing kachim to be mechayev you like a chatas on arba kronos. We didn't even know if you needed a din of kronos bechlal on a personal mizbeach. You just need to have it built. And there would be no din of tenufa, vav shlomim. There's no tenufas chaz v'shok. And if you're bringing a mincha, there's no din of hagasha to the keren dromis maravis, which is normally done for a mincha. Hold a second, says Rabbi Yehuda. There was no mincha at all that was brought on a bama. Don't tell me there was no hagasha. There was no mincha. Well, we already saw Rabbi Yehuda's halach in the past. We've referred to it that Rabbi Yehuda holds ein mincha b'bama whatsoever. Anyway, getting back to the list of things that does not apply to Obama. Furthermore, there was no din of kahuna. There was no din of wearing any kind of special begadim, big day shares, which means that Alon would be able to wear one of his fancy hats, and that would be just as good as the mitznefet, and he would be able to actually do the aveda, and for the first time could look Barnea right in the face, and the two of them would be giving the same tour, and he would no longer be subject to scorn by the kayanim, because in that Bama Ketana, he would be just as good. And there would be no din of a klishares, which of course we've been making reference to for the past couple of days by talking about the din of being makriv bachutz of things that were not makudish in a klishares, in the case of the nisachim. And there would be no din of reach nichoach. Now, no din of reach nichoach, that would be a special boon to the people who didn't show up today, and therefore we're not going to tell them. But since the Lion Cup does seem to be here, even though his brother is not here, we'll tell him. How is this a boon to Lion Cubs? Because it means that you could actually barbecue the meat before, and along with it, the chelak that was going to be brought on the Mizbeach, the Emurim, and nothing would be wrong, because on the Mizbeach you can't do that, because it wouldn't be L'Reach Nichoach. And therefore, supposedly the lions won't come to your barbecue, right? That's the way you always try to calm my beating heart. And the Mechitza, Ledamim, there's no midpoint, which on the Mizbeach, of course, was the Chutas Sikra, was that red line that went around the middle. Well, there's no red line because there's no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. And, I mean, the only Karbanos that you're bringing over there are the Karban Ela and the Karban Shlomi. And Richutz Yadayim V'Raglayim, you do not have to use your kiyor to wash your hands and your feet, but there would still be a din of Pigol Chutz Lizmano, because there's still the same dinim of the Zman, that you have a right for the achila of the carbon of the akrava, and there would still be a din of noser if you didn't eat it in time. That is shoving bezel bezel. It wouldn't matter whether you brought that on the bamas yachir, you brought that on the bamas tzibur, it would be the same halacha. Wow, that was the entire perek. How do you like that?